of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by the Wonderland Tourism Bureau. We're all mad.
Welcome to this podcast. Welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
We have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com. That's right, right? That's where we're located?
Pretty close.
About there?
Are you ready to get it? ABBA started?
The ABBA started? How is that as a play on our words?
So, on our last trip, we were able to... I was able to get a fast pass for one of the rides in Pandora.
Yeah.
Which was a surprise, because it almost never happens that way.
It was a great birthday present.
Happy birthday!
Was that actually on my birthday?
It was not.
Sure
it
was.
We were in Epcot on your birthday.
Oh, same thing.
Sure. Just celebrate it all year long, or all month long, I usually do.
At least all weekend.
We were able then to go into Avatar, the Pandora area, and kind of enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it was raining that day. I'm not a fan. Mostly just because my shoes are not waterproof.
Right.
So as I was walking around Pandora, my feet were really wet and cold.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah. And normally I would definitely agree with you that I'm not a fan of the rain, but if it keeps people out of our way and out of line, so the line is only 75 minutes in the rain, great.
You're down. And that was like first thing in the morning, like when we
rope
got
drop
there. Yeah.
Straight to Pandora.
Yeah.
75 minute wait for
we didn't
a flight
run
of passage.
Like some people do, because that just makes you look desperate, huh?
I didn't want to fall. Could you imagine?
Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Two adult men running to Pandora and you fall.
On my 40th birthday?
Oh. Ooh, you just told your age.
28th birthday.
Yeah, so we went straight to Pandora just to say, let's see what we can find out.
Yeah.
And the line was intimidatingly long. Like, lengthwise.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know why they decided to do it that way, but literally they had you stretching across the entire, like, you were basically at the entrance of Animal Kingdom at the beginning of the line, you know,
and like, then you circle back down,
yeah,
and come back to
it was ridiculously long looking, so that was a little daunting. And then people in lines like that get very unfriendly for some reason.
Very competitive.
Yeah, like they are very nervous about anyone getting ahead of them or slowing down the line in any way, shape, or form. And it's like, you're in line. You're going to get there one way or the other. Whether or not that person pauses to take another photo, which there were a lot of that going on in front of us.
There was.
But
and they were slow.
They were slow and
they weren't quite prepared for the photos that they were taking.
Yeah. But I mean, you're going to get there at the same amount of time. They're not going to let people in front of you, you know, just because they're people taking pictures or whatever. So we had a little bit of, anxiety apparently getting into the ride. But once you were like actually inside where you weren't in the rain anymore, it was a really enjoyable line area.
Right. I don't know how long that indoor line queue is supposed to be. Cause we flew through it fairly quickly.
Right.
But probably 35-40 minutes on the inside of it, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe that's how long it was. About 30, I think it was about 30 minutes, and it was fascinating the entire time.
Yeah, it in true Disney form, they heavily themed everything. You go in and it's an old military base that's basically being reclaimed by the nature of Pandora is the concept.
Or Georgia.
Or
we get the same thing here.
If you don't fight back nature, she's going to take it back.
Totally true.
I
know how they feel there in Pandora.
Yeah. So it's super heavenly themed and things. I think perhaps some of the nuance might have been lost because it's been so long since the movie was out that they might have put some movie-specific details in there that maybe people have forgotten about because it's been so long since the movie came out.
Yeah.
I don't. You said you saw it, correct?
I thought for sure I'd seen two. I thought I saw one and two.
Right, yeah. Avatar 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told you, no, it's just one excessively long movie that feels like two movies.
I can't believe there's only been one.
Well, sitting through it definitely felt like a two-movie experience sometimes.
And it's possible I paused it halfway through.
And watched it the next day. Because I swear it's like a three-hour movie.
It's gotta be.
You know James Cameron and his movies. He just can't stand not to have everything in there.
Completely true.
So the line, I think, was very immersive. Super, and this is Flight of Passage, by the way. We didn't even say which ride
I said
this
it
was.
Once, but okay. Yes. Flight of Passage.
What I found really interesting is that while standing in line, Disney is usually very good at giving instruction while you're standing in line to prepare you for getting to the head of the line, right? They don't want people hemming and hawing and not knowing what they're doing and slowing things up when they get up there.
Right.
So usually while you're standing in line, they'll be like, Space Mountain is a roller coaster themed type ride in the dark with sudden stops and drops. And, you know, they give you kind of information so that you're a little bit more prepared. They did none of that throughout the entire ride. There were no announcements. There were no graphics. I actually found that a lot of people were very quiet in that line. Like, there wasn't a lot of talking going on even. Like,
yeah.
We got into that last room where there's not even a whole lot going on. There's just a big giant screen and it's showing different graphics and whatnot. And people are just quietly watching the screen.
You know, that's absolutely true. It is a memorizing line. Like, it just, you get completely immersed and don't want, all you want to do is just figure out what you're looking at.
Right. Yeah.
Which is great.
And it almost feels like you have to be quiet because everyone's being quiet. You know,
it's fantastic.
It's really interesting.
I love it.
I'm not sure what the effect is, but it definitely works. And then you get up to the line and they separate you out again. And you're like, I don't even know what part of the line I'm agreeing to here. You know,
it does feel like that too. You feel like you have to be agreeing to stuff. You just feel like,
yeah, where am I signing exactly?
It feels like that. For sure.
So the concept of the ride is that you are a visitor to Pandora and they are hooking you into an avatar so that you can fly on a Banshee, which is like the flying dragon type things from the Pandora movies.
Oh, we're going right into the spoilers now.
Well,
are we?
That's exactly what the ride is. What do you mean, spoilers?
Oh, okay.
That's the whole conceit of the ride.
For me, it's a spoiler.
Is it?
Sure, I didn't know that's what we were doing.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
this is why I find life very fascinating.
Yeah, Steve is surprised by everything because he just doesn't pay attention. So I guess spoilers, the concept of the ride is that you are riding on the back of a Banshee is the concept. So you get up to the gate and they give you a number in the room to go and stand on, right? Mm-hmm. And you're standing on your number and like, I don't know if it's a weight thing or just a sensor thing, but literally you're standing on your number and it locks you in.
Yeah.
Says, okay, there's someone standing on this number now.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, that's kind of official.
It does feel very official.
And then they're like scanning you and you can see yourself in dots like on the screen, you know, and in all honesty, it's probably just like an Xbox One, you know, scanner type thing that's just scanning the room.
Yeah.
But it feels really cool.
It totally does.
I've never looked better than when I was
in dots.
Made of dots.
You totally feel like Dusty whatever. Do you remember Dusty Bottom?
Oh, Dusty Ray. Yeah.
But it was even to the point that I wanted to switch you spots, but I was afraid to because I was afraid that the weight would be all messed up on the ride somehow. Completely not true. This is not a
true
thing.
No, yeah.
But I wasn't going to risk it.
Yeah, I would hate for that to happen because I would not want to be shot off of my
avatar
because I took your calibration instead of my
own. Could you imagine?
And they kind of give you the rundown at the beginning there, where they're like, this is what you're going to do. We're going to put you in Avatar, and then you're going to go ride the Banshees around Pandora, right? Then what I found interesting is they move you into a secondary room, standing on the numbers once again, and they basically tell you the same thing again.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think they're just trying to explain it as much as possible so that people get the idea.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always going to be a ride queue anyway, right? They're always going to be loading people through those rooms. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
So why not build in an extra room or two if it's cool?
Yeah.
I worry that, like, in Dinosaur they do it, right? But it's not cool anymore.
Yeah, it just so, is an inconvenience.
After the second time riding it, you're like, oh my gosh, y'all, this is not happening.
So we're going to get into spoilers. So if you don't want to know...
Oh, this is where the spoilers
this
begin.
This is where the spoilers begin.
Okay, now I got it.
So you walk into a room and there are a bunch of benches. They kind of look like motorcycles lined up on the right-hand side. You take off all of your... You take out your cell phones and your, you know, all that kind of stuff and put them in boxes at the back of the room. And then you get on to the thing. You kind of get on it like a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, you have to push your chest up against the front of the thing.
Right.
Is kind of their instructions. Feet flat on the ground, and you have to hold on to the handles like you're riding a motorcycle, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
It starts getting a little hairy after that when they say, okay, the cast member walks out of the room, and then all of a sudden it like pneumatically locks you into that position.
Yeah.
It comes up against your back and like locks you into that position.
Uh-huh. And around your legs.
I could see if you were claustrophobic, that being a major issue.
Right.
Like freak out issue. And there was a child freaking out in the room while we were in there.
Yeah. Your group is 16 people that go into each bay at each time.
Right.
And yeah, we could hear in the other bay next to ours, this girl just screaming.
And I thought it was kind of bad because like the cast member didn't even come back in and check. It's like,
they didn't care.
No, apparently not. And the kid was fine after the ride started. I think it was just the initial panic of being locked into a motorcycle, basically. But then if you've ridden Soarin' at any of the Disney parks, it basically goes into that. The wall in front of you opens up and you're in a giant concave movie screen with your 3D glasses on.
Yeah, you're wearing the coolest clear 3D glasses you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because they're completely clear.
And there are, I want to say there's probably four bays of 16 people all in that same screen at the same time.
Do you think there's four?
Yeah, because there is us two.
Okay.
And then I could see the people next to us. There were people below us.
Okay.
And then when I... Because I wear glasses, the 3D glasses don't fit on me very well, and sometimes it makes things fuzzy, which can make me sick. So sometimes during those situations, I look away from the screen so that I don't feel nauseous.
Uh-huh.
So when I looked across, I could see what I thought were more people further over.
Okay.
So I think maybe we were on the right side of this screen, and then there is a left side.
Interesting.
Don't quote me on that. We'd have to look into real schematics or something,
but when we're lining up in that queue in the beginning, there are four sets of queues, and they were only using the two outside queues of space, but you could definitely see that like in a busy time period, they'd be using the middle two as well.
Yeah. And there was an up and down too. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We don't even know. And they all had touchpads too. They all had like iPads that they were like directing us with. They were typing stuff into iPads as we were walking past them.
Steve was afraid they were judging him.
Oh, I knew they were.
Most people were just happy to be out of the rain at that point. But so you're wearing the 3D glasses and you're sitting astride your Banshee. And honestly, I feel like the ride vehicle is one of the coolest parts of that ride.
For sure.
Because completely the Banshee unique. Has wings and things, when your Banshee tilts, there's... I don't know. I guess it would be airbags on the inside of your thighs that expand to show when the muscles are contracting in one direction or the other. And then when it pauses, you can feel it breathing while you're sitting on it. They spray you with water as you go past the waterfalls and things, and they have smells, and it's a very immersive ride.
So completely immersive.
Right. And I went in there thinking that I was going to be cynical about it because everyone's like, I would wait 13 hours for that ride again. No problem. You know, like there are those people that are like, I waited 7 hours and it was totally worth it. And I went in going, I am going to hate this ride just because I want to spite those people. You know, there is no way it's worth that. And honestly, I don't think it is worth that. I would not wait 5 hours to ride that.
Not five.
The ride itself, once you're actually like in the screen and all that kind of stuff, I feel like it's maybe 4 to 5 minutes long.
Probably, yeah.
Is that worth 5 hours of waiting? I'm going to say no. We waited for 2 hours. Did we wait 2 hours?
Yeah, it was 75 minutes when we first got into line, right?
Yeah.
So that's only like an hour and 15, actually, is what it was supposed to be.
And I felt like it gave me adequate time to see the theming, enjoy the atmosphere, not get horribly bored in line, which can happen fairly often.
No, because that line did fly. Like, I did not feel like...
It was
like...
almost constantly moving. Like, I can't remember a time we were just stopped.
Yep. Not for long periods of time. Yeah. Maybe 30 or 40 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad. And the theming was fun, and it was fun to look at. And the ride itself was then satisfying to ride.
Right.
Had we waited for a lot longer, I think it would be, I would be even harder to impress.
Because there's a ton of things in the ride that make, or in the queue that make you feel like you're already on the ride. There's a bunch of stuff happening.
Yeah.
And you're watching that, and you're, and you, like, you're like, this could be the whole ride itself.
Yeah.
Just, and if just, if Walt had it his way, that would have been the ride. Because everything he did was a walkthrough.
Yeah.
And so you basically go for a full 30-minute walkthrough prior to the ride,
right?
And on a busy day, they could open up those queues longer, even. Yeah. So you're even indoors probably twice as long, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe I don't know, but
overall, I found it to be a very enjoyable experience.
It was absolutely the best ride ever of any kind.
Oh, I don't think that, but I think it was definitely an e-ticket attraction
to the max.
I am so glad that we wrote it because it is something unique and something new, which is what I'm always complaining about with Disney World. I feel like their stuff feels dated and non-innovative. And then you get into this ride and you're like, okay, they really tried with this one. They did something completely different. I mean, you know, the comparisons to Soarin' notwithstanding, it felt very unique, and the ride,
even though it's similar, it's 100% different.
Right. Yeah.
It's not even close to Soarin'.
Yeah.
So mainly because I'm on the ground the whole time, but it still got motion sickness, and I still felt like I was afraid of heights, on the ride.
Well, there you go.
But
that's what a good ride will do for you.
Truly
make you afraid.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, you know, I would probably wait an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe, to ride that ride.
I would say 2 hours, yeah.
Maximum, though. Anything beyond that, and I'm like, well, I'd rather go ride Everest or something.
And it depends on how hot the outside queue is. If it's boiling hot, I probably wouldn't do it either.
I would rather do boiling hot than in the rain. I do not like having wet feet, and so I need to make sure that next time we go, I have shoes that are a little bit more water-resistant. Because then I walked around the rest of the day with squishy shoes, you know, and that's never fun.
That is true.
But then we got to do, later that day, we got to do the... The Rivers of Light. No, that's not what it's called.
No.
Oh, good night. I can't...
How embarrassing. I don't even know.
The Navi River Journey. There's the name of it. Goodness gracious.
We were about ready to stop this and have to record the whole thing all over again.
Pause it! it's the one that I was able to get a fast pass for. And I have to say, I'm glad we got a fast pass for it.
Yeah, probably.
After riding it. I knew zero things about this ride, except for that the one animatronic in it was incredible. It was all that I knew about the ride. And I like going into rides like that and being surprised by things. So we had the fast pass, so we basically walked right on. There wasn't really a wait for us.
I got yelled at for trying to walk on too quickly. Apparently, there's a red line that I'm supposed to stand behind.
Oh, that's true.
He was very upset about that red line on the ground.
Yeah. Well, when you're dealing with thousands of people a day, you have to have some kind of control, right?
Completely true.
So you get onto these. They're
I felt like I was on a city bus all of a sudden. Get behind the line!
If this ride goes under 55 miles an hour, it'll explode! So you get onto these really cute little boats. Like,
yeah,
they're very petite, honestly.
Two rows of four people, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's more comfortable than the Frozen ride. Right. They were actually made for four adult people.
Well, yeah.
And you go, basically, it's exactly what it says. It's a Navi River journey where you're going basically just down a small section of river during the nighttime hours on Pandora. Which, if you've seen Avatar, you know that everything lights up at night. There's lots of weird animals and things.
Coolest planet ever, y'all.
The ride itself has zero story. So if you're going in looking for a concept or a beginning, middle, end, you're going to be disappointed. There is none of that.
And we don't speak their language, so we have no idea what they're talking about the whole time.
They were cursing us out the whole time.
Get out of my river.
Yeah, you B word. But they had some really cool effects in there that I really appreciated. There was one where there's leaves above you and you can see the frog things jumping around on it. And leaves actually bounce. Like there's actual things jumping around up there.
Yeah.
Really cool. But then you do get to the end and I believe they call her the Shaman of Song or something along those lines. And she is one of the most incredible animatronics that I've seen in a long time. She moves really fluidly. She's really big, too. It's not even like a little tiny figure. She's massive, and she moves so quick and so fluid. It's honestly what I wanted the Frozen animatronics to look like.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have like a projection face. It's like a real animatronic face.
And I can't wait to ride it again.
Yeah. So she is incredible. So all of that is just to say that after all my years of complaining about Disney World not having new and innovative things, after riding their new and innovative things, I really appreciated them.
It was there the whole time.
It was not. And, you know, two rides does not a fantastic park make, but they are very impressive rides.
True.
Both of them, I think.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to add to the parks over the next four movies that are released?
Or I think add to so. That? I think that's the plan. I think, especially with the Navi River journey, they have a lot of opportunity to add things into that one. The rumor is originally that it was going to be like Pirates and have a lot of figures in it. And due to time and budget constraints, it
got whittled
down to one. So, interesting. But it would be fun if they were able to put more things in that.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But you don't think they'll expand the land out further anywhere?
Maybe. I mean, they have the space for it, so it's possible. But I guess it depends on how well these next Avatar movies do.
We'll see. Know? They don't really need to because the land is already great by itself.
Yeah, I think it looks great, and the rides themselves are great. And I don't see Flight of Passage losing popularity anytime soon.
You know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, I don't know how long that is, but like Indiana Jones is still just as popular now, 25 years later.
Right.
And I feel like that's definitely...
And Soarin' is just as popular as it was. Wow, is that right?
It's not 25 years old.
It's not 25, but it's old enough that most people have been on it at least once.
Yeah.
So, true. But... It's like I always say, if you want to look like a Na'vi without getting your face painted, just go on a day when it's raining, and you'll look like a blue avatar anyway, because you'll have hypothermia.
Yeah, hypothermia.
In Florida, not happening. But anyway, until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.